good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this Thursday, September 10th, live from the Radio Ranch. Stay tuned. Got a few things to go over with you tonight, some scriptures. I'd like to talk about the parable of the sower tonight. We'll have the phone lines open after about, halfway through the hour. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Good evening, folks, and welcome to 7 times 70. Again, this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Beautiful day today. Whew! Not uneventful, I'll tell you. I'll give you that much. It's always something going on here at the Radio Ranch, but that's okay. That's part of it. When Pastor was here with us, we had what we called the 10-minute rule. And could be in 10 minutes something changed, and you had to go do something else. That's just how it is. But hey, we are pleased to be here. We are blessed that we're able to be about the Father's business, and that's because of the support that we get from you, the saints, and we thank you for that. Have a few things I want to cover with you tonight. One, I want to know if you've ever heard of Oswald Chambers and a book, a devotional book he has out called My Utmost for His Highest. I want to read the reading for today with you, share that with you, kind of start the program off. Wasn't planning on that, but talked to our brother Jack out in PA today, and he had mentioned he's reading it as well. And I'd read yesterday's, and I don't get to read it every day, but I'll share that with you because I think it's pertinent. It's applicable. It encouraged me, and I hope that it will encourage you. And I've found that if I can share those type of things, the things that are pertinent, sure seem to be anyway, in my life, and that encourage me, that in talking to many of you, the remnant, I've learned that it's encouraging to you as well. And, you know, that's how this book is written. That's how this Bible is. This Bible is not for the masses. This Bible is for me. This Bible is for Richard. This Bible is for you, individually. It truly is. Well, let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get this, we'll get into this this little devotional. Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just have to say thank you. Lord, thank you. We praise you, Lord, you who created the heavens and the earth, Lord, who have been here always and saw fit to create us in this place, in this time. Lord, you brought many before us. Don't know who all will come after us, but Lord, we're here now. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for having us here, right now. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak with your remnant tonight, Lord, to share your gospel message with them through the miracles of shortwave and internet, and audio satellite, Lord, listening on the iPhone from the website. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, who dedicated his life, who paved the way, Lord, who built the foundation here at this ministry, Lord. And that foundation is based on Jesus Christ. It is certainly built on the rock. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, who overcame death and overcame the grave and makes that available to us. Thank you, Lord. The words thank you just don't, they don't say enough. Father, I pray that the eyes and the hearts and the minds and the ears of your people would be opened, Lord. That those that are blind would see, that those that don't hear the message, Lord, whose hearts are like the stony ground that we read about in the parable of the sower that we'll get to tonight. Lord, the hearts that are hardened out there, Father, let them be softened. Lord, let your people soften them before you have to soften them, Lord. That's our prayer, Lord, that, Lord, you would help us to further the gospel of the kingdom, to continue to put forth the gospel of the kingdom, Lord. We thank you for it. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct my words and thoughts. Lord, let them be edifying to your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Again, beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you, turn them over to Matthew 13. Do want to read and talk a little bit about the parable of the sower. It's kind of seems like it's come up in conversation lately with a couple of different people I've spoken with, and so I thought I'd look into it, and I took some notes down, thought I'd share those with you tonight, and we'll open up the phone lines maybe about halfway through the program. I would like to get a couple things out here kind of specifically, but first, this daily devotional, and I kind of have several here. One is How to Pray, the best of John Wesley on prayer, and that is not really a daily devotional, but it has some good things. And I've got another one here. It's called Every Day for Every Man. And it's a little more modern take on things, but it is. It's scripture verses. It's what they are, daily devotionals. They're tools. Tools that we can use, tools that I use help me keep me on the straight and narrow, to help keep me focused on where I need to be focused and in the Word. And my utmost for His highest is not a new book. I'll give you a quick introduction that's in the beginning of it. And this is written by Richard Halverson, former chaplain of the United States Senate. And it says, a copy of My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers was given to me for Christmas 1936. On January 1st, 1937, I began to read this daily devotional book. And so, just a couple of, again, this book has been around for a while. It's just a devotional, and when you read through it, you can tell that it's written in a different time. You know, the language was certainly different then. But a couple quotes here from it. It says, in this book by Chambers, I'm constantly being reminded that the ground of faith and experience is the person of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that Jesus Christ is our friend. He is our Savior. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But if we do what His Word tells us to do, and we do our best to walk in His ways and to turn from sin and to do the things He tells us, He calls us friend. You know, my friend, I can text at 6 in the morning if I need something, or 9 o'clock at night. It's getting a little late. But I can talk to my friends. I can call them at any time, and they can... You know, those that have me as a friend can do the same. And we forget about that sometimes. I like how it puts it here, is that the ground of faith and experience is the person of Jesus Christ. Another one here says, the basis of faith is always Jesus Christ Himself. And He exemplified that. And again, the last quote here just says, through the years, this Oswald Chambers book has kept me on course by bringing me back to Jesus. And so I'd recommend it to you. Is it perfect? No. Is it the Bible? No. But it's stood the test of time, 80 years old, and I think that from what I've seen in it has been good. And it's dated, not by the year, but by the date. And so for September 10th, that's today, I thought I'd read this. And it's kind of subtitled under Missionary Munitions, but it's the quote is from John 1:48. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And so, just a couple of paragraphs, I think three here, and I just want to read them, and then we'll talk about that a little bit. But it's, worshiping as occasion serves, is kind of the title. Here we go. We imagine we would be all right if a big crisis arose, but the big crisis will only reveal the stuff we are made of. It will not put anything into us. If God gives the call, of course I will rise to the occasion, we may say. You will not, unless you have risen to the occasion in the workshop, unless you have been the real thing before God there. If you are not doing the thing that lies nearest, because God has engineered it, when the crisis comes, instead of being revealed as fit, you will be revealed as unfit. Crisis always reveals character. And I pause there. And, oh, how true this is. And I can remember many times, and this came up at a prayer meeting yesterday morning with some local men, many times how we've thought over the years, I'm ready to do this great thing, Lord. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm ready. I'll do it. You want me to take this message to the governor? I'll do it. You want me, do I need to take up arms? I'll do it. I'm ready for this great big thing. I'm ready to be a Gideon. I'm ready to be a David. I'm ready. And we expect, but that's our flesh. We expect this great big thing. But in order to get the great big thing, we have to have been faithful and persevere through the smaller things. We have to learn precept upon precept and line upon line. You know, David was able to slay Goliath, but that's because he spent years. He was the youngest brother. Remember, all the other brothers were off at war. He was the youngest brother. He spent years out there tending the sheep. And you know, most of the time when you're tending the sheep, it's like this. Bah. Bah. And it would be pretty boring. Now, granted, you had your moments when the wolf or the lion came, and you had you couldn't lose the sheep. You couldn't go back to dad try to explain that one away. And so we see that David was faithful in the little things. He learned patience. He learned, he made himself strong. And so when he had to face the Goliath, it was no big deal. And that's what Mr. Chambers is saying here. We read on. The private relationship of worshiping God is the great essential of fitness. The time comes when there is no more fig tree life possible, when it is out into the open, out into the glare, and into the work. And you will find yourself of no value there if you have not been worshiping as occasion serves you in your home. Worship aright in your private relationships. Then, when God sets you free, you will be ready. Because in the unseen life which no one saw but God, you have become perfectly fit. And when the strain comes, you can be relied upon by God. I can't be expected to live the sanctified life, many people say, in the circumstances I'm in. I have no time for praying just now. I have no time for Bible reading. My opportunity hasn't come yet. When it does, of course, I shall be all right. No, you will not. It's as simple as that. If you have not been worshiping as occasion serves, and you get into work, you will not only be useless yourself, but a tremendous hindrance to those who are associated with you. The workshop of missionary munitions is the hidden personal worshiping life of the saint. And that's the little devotional from Oswald Chambers, My Utmost First Highest, for today, September 10th. And I wanted to share that with you because, you know, we're to practice what we preach. Character is developed. I saw a flyer one time that said, character is doing what's right even when no one's watching. And see, that's, again, this Bible is written to you individually. And it's addressed to you, and it's important for you and for me individually as well. And God wants us to have that godly character, whether we're around other people or not. He wants us to desire to do His will, as Christ did. And if we think that we're going to be ready when the Y2K that didn't come comes, when the grid goes down, when the blacks riot, when the electricity is shut off, when the water's shut off, when all these things happen, and then we'll be ready. Oh, then I'll be faithful. Then I'll rely on the Lord. Well, if you're not relying on Him now, you're not going to know how to rely on Him then. Hope that makes sense. It does to me. I see this. It's encouraging to me. I hope it's encouraging to you. It's encouraging to me. It reminds me to make sure that you know, I am praying the Lord's Prayer daily. It's not just rote. It's not just, our Father who art in heaven, I'll be there. Try to get it out of the way. You know, sometimes the children will do that, praying for over a meal or something. It's like, wait a minute. You know, mumble, mumble, mumble. Let's mean it. This is to have meaning. And we are to practice. We are to be disciplined in the Word. And discipline, and our lives are to be disciplined. Not just doing anything and everything that we want to do. Anyway, didn't mean to take 15 minutes on that, but I would encourage you. We don't carry this book at the ministry. Maybe we should. I'll have to talk to John about that. Maybe we could get some in. But I think it's an excellent little daily devotional. My Utmost, First, Highest by Oswald Chambers. Well, boy, I should have brought a glass of water in here tonight. Bottle of water or something. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. We're in Ezekiel. Almost finished with it. We're Ezekiel 34 through 36 today. Where he promises that he'll heal us. He promises he'll redeem us. He promises he will, well, he says here in Ezekiel 36, verse 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Does that remind you of anything that you've ever heard of from this ministry? I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. No, not sprinkling today. But to me, that points straight to baptism. Hope it does you. That's way back in Ezekiel 36. Well, what I wanted to talk about tonight is the parable of the sower. And we find it in Matthew 13. We see another telling of it in Luke 8, and then also in Mark 4. Thought we'd read Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. This is the where Jesus is teaching in parables, and he talks about the parable of the sower. And so, just to kind of have the setting, many people have come around. He's not just speaking to his disciples, but many people have come around. So we'll read this, Matthew 13, 3 through 9. "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, and some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And that's Matthew 13, 3 through 9. And in Mark 4, 13, it kind of gives us, again, this was a parallel telling of it, but in Mark 4, 13 we read, "And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And so there's kind of some teaching here that's kind of foundational that we kind of have to get down. It benefits us if we can kind of understand a little bit about this parable so that we can understand all the parables. And so that was Matthew. So again, we'll bump up. That was Mark 4:13 as well. And then we'll go now to Luke 8. And here, starting in verse 11, we read of Jesus explaining the parables. Hey, some seed is sown and it falls in different places, and different things happen. And so let's read it. Luke 8, 11 through 13. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." And this is Jesus explaining this parable. "The seed is the word of God." So the word of God is getting sown. It is getting spread and put out. "And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved." And so there's one one thing that happens when the gospel is word out, is put out, when the word of God is put out as a seed. We read on. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And while these have no firm root, they believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Reading on, Luke 8:14-15. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. I want to read that one again. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. And so, the parable of the sower again, it tells us that the seed is the word of God, and I know this is probably basic and might be just Sunday School 101 for many of us out there, for many of you out there. But I want to go through it because there's part of it, and I hope I can get to it, that many times we miss. Okay? But I want to go through these four types of soil that it talks about. Because I think we see it in so much of our society today. We see it in our friends. We see it in our families. And I want to ask you, do we see it in the mirror at times? These four types. What type of soil? Maybe I'd put it that way. What type of soil are you? Is God's word growing in you, in your heart, in your life? Is it evident? Is there fruit of that? Or is it being taken away and stolen? So, again, we're reading the parable of the sower. Mark 4:14-15. The sower sows the word, and the explanation. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And so the first type that we read in this parable of the first place that this word of God is given is beside the road, kind of on the wayside. The word is given and it goes out, and there's some that hear it. But it says here they don't get to keep it. Satan comes and takes it away from them. And so this is that seed that's on the wayside, that's given on the wayside. So the question is, are you on the wayside? Are you hardened by sin to where that word just kind of hits and bounces off? Are you hardened by sin, and do you have a calloused and a hard heart so that the word of God means nothing to you? That's how I see this first type of where the gospel goes. Hard-heartedness today, heart disease is the leading cause of death of people in the United States. Over 25%, I think that's right. I didn't just make that up. I just don't have it in my notes, but I think that's what it was. But over 25% of the deaths today are by heart disease. And in this parable of the sower, they're there on the wayside. Is that, we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. So we read on, Mark 4:16-17. This is the next place that the parable of the sower, the next place that the word of God goes. Not on the wayside, but here, at Mark 4:16-17. And in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And so again, the second place that the word goes, the rocky places. And so the word is put out, it's heard, it's received with joy. Oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Maybe that's a saying all over. I remember it from down in the South. But but they have no firm root. It's only temporary. Now, that temporary may be a real short temporary, and it may be a longer temporary. But it says, but then when affliction or persecution arises, you know, I remember this teaching from our pastor, when the storms come, might be another way to put this. I think that would mean an equivalent. When the storms come, and I can see our pastor standing at the pulpit saying, and bet your boots, the storms will come. They will come. But these that are in the rocky places, when affliction or persecution arises, Mark 4:17 tells us, because of the word, immediately they fall away. You know, there is affliction and persecution today because of the word of God. Because the word of God says fornicators don't make it into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And the people like to fornicate. You know, the Bible says liars don't make it into the kingdom. People love to lie. There's some people out there that lie just to hear themselves talk. They're so used to it. It is that they have practiced it and practiced it. It's just second nature to them. They don't make it into the kingdom. The Supreme Court of this land, so-called Supreme Court, says that homosexuals have the right to marry, and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, that's an abomination to God. It's against His word. And so if you try to stand on that, you will receive affliction and persecution. And we are seeing it all over. Bakers, florists, county clerks. I can tell you the county clerks, city clerks in this city and county didn't stand up like Miss Kim Davis did. They didn't. They just stood and smiled for the camera. Take our picture. Yes, here we are. We're so happy that you're the first filthy faggot couple in here sinning before God to do this. Affliction and persecution arises because of the word. And those that are on the rocky places, they fall away. And we see so much of this in the land today. We've seen so many people that, Well, you know, they're not rooted in the Word. It says they have no firm root in themselves. There's no root. There's nothing that's established. It's just whatever way the wind's blowing today. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's Sunday. I'm a Christian. I've raised my hand. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, His Word. Yes, praise Jesus. We love you. But then on Monday, what happens? So I ask you, are you rooted in the Word? And daily resisting the devil? You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. So you ever just say that? You know, Jesus Christ had to say it. Satan, get thee behind me. And if the Son of God had to say that, if the Son of God had to confront Satan himself, you'd think maybe you might have to. Resist the devil and he will flee. Sometimes you just have to say that. Try it sometime. You feel the wrong thoughts coming into your mind. You find yourself looking at the wrong things or thinking the wrong things, saying the things you know you shouldn't, doing the things you know you shouldn't. Just stop. Satan, get thee behind me. You are not welcome here. I am a child of God. I am resisting you and I have overcome you. You were defeated at the cross. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's a truth that's there. But if you don't resist, why should he flee? When the affliction and persecution arises because of the word, are you rooted in the word? Or are you just a fair weather when there are no problems type of Christian? You know, they talk about a fair weather friend, and I've had those before. When everything's going good, they're your buddy. They're your buddy. Everything's fine. But you know, when persecution arises, or when you have troubles, maybe you're low of money. You know, maybe you're having marital problems. You know, maybe your children have done something, and boy, now there's a stain there. And who knows what? Maybe you've done something wrong, and that friend hadn't heard from you in a while. That's a fair weather friend. Are you a fair weather Christian? That you're fine and happy and dandy at one time. And I'm not accusing anybody. Don't get me wrong. It's just putting this question out. Get people to think. We have new people listening in, new people tuning in all the time. And I can tell you, people, that if you've been listening for 20 years, you need to ask yourself this very question. Are you rooted in the Word? Are you like those ones whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who have no root, who have no foundation? And you know, our foundation is the Word. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. And I had another quote here. I didn't come up with it. It's actually from some fourfold gospel commentary. I was doing some research, but it says, "Tribulation establishes real faith, but destroys its counterfeit." Tribulation comes. Persecution comes. It may only be that your friend that you thought was your friend that doesn't see the Scriptures the way you do, doesn't have maybe the understanding that you do. Tribulation establishes real faith, but destroys its counterfeit. We are to be disciplined in the Word, and we are to trust in it, to believe it, to know, to be able to, you know, we got an old bunkhouse here at the ranch, and it's a great old bunkhouse. When I moved out here, Jason was living in it, and some other men, and you know, that worked out on the ranch, and it was a great bunkhouse, but you know, it over the years, it's crumbling. It has no foundation. And that's how many of the old log homes and log cabins were built back, you know, 100 years plus ago, is they just were built. They weren't built on a foundation, and they lasted the family a generation or two, and that was fine, and then usually they moved on or something. It was no big deal. But the bunkhouse would be neat to fix up, but it has no foundation. And Christian, brethren, sister, if you don't have a foundation in Jesus Christ and in His Word and His truth of who He is and who you are in Him, then a crumbling can sure come. It sure can. Well, still got a couple more here to go through in this parable of the sower, but we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. Remind you, we are live here at the Radio Ranch, getting to be just a beautiful twilight, dark blue back to the east, and still a little bit of glow from the setting sun behind the mountains back to the west. We read on, Mark 4:18 through 19. "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." I want to read another verse here. It's Luke 21, 34 through 36. And I think it ties in here with this worries of the world. Luke 21, 34 through 36 tells us, "Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And so don't let the worldly cares. Now, you know, we all have worldly cares. You know, we all have bills. We all have health issues. We all have in-laws and outlaws in our family. We all have some that Christians and understanding to this true gospel message, but we all have those friends and families that aren't. We all have children that aren't always perfect. just as we weren't always perfect, just as we aren't always perfect now. And so these worldly cares are, you know, we all think about retirement. Everybody does. But the Christian, and we can't, and this is what I hope is encouraging to you when I read this. It's an encouragement to me, and I'm telling myself this very thing. Don't let the worldly cares, as it tells us and warns us here in Mark 4:18 and 19, don't let the worldly cares override and overrule His Word. You know, we're told not to fret. Do you think any of you by worrying can add 1 second to your life? You know, we sure try to, and exercising and eating right and taking our vitamins and this and that. We sure seem to try to. Maybe we just want to, whatever days, months, years we have, we want them to be healthy. Maybe that's it. But don't let, as Mark 4:18, don't be as those among the thorns. And let the, as it says, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, don't let those things enter in and choke the Word out. Don't let that happen. Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Hey, Richard. It's Joe.
Hey, good evening, Joe.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, we're doing good here. We got a good bit of rain here these past, I'd say, close to 24 hours, and things are looking better here for sure.
Well, good. Joe, I sent you an email today. Don't know if you got it.
I didn't look.
Okay. Maybe take a look. I want you to give me a call in the office tomorrow if you can. I think
sure.
My office number on there and about a different matter. But, yeah, do that. I didn't have your phone. I don't have caller ID on the call-in line here. I didn't have your phone number. But, yeah, do that. Give me a call tomorrow at the office. But I'm glad you got some rain. That's always good. We're about ready for some more.
Well, anyway, I was considering what you're talking about here about the parable of the sower and things. I've got 2 points here that also regarding the fag issue. In Luke 13, there's a parable. Again, it's about a garden and plants and things, about the fig tree that bore no fruit for 3 years. And the vine, or the gardener that was taking care of the man's vineyard, and he said, "Well, cut it down." The vineyard, the owner came in, and he said, "Cut it down," without even thinking about it. And the other guy, who was the caretaker, said, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer, and if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down." So we should prepare our ground first before sowing our seed, if that makes any sense.
That's very true. That's part of it. And I think this whole parable talks about
maybe that ties into our praying first before going out and sowing our seed.
Yeah, that's a good, good thought. It is. It has to have the right soil. That's for sure. That's for sure. Yep.
Well,
good point.
On the fag issue there, this woman, as I understand it, she was a court appointed clerk. I didn't look on it in on this issue too much, but she issued marriage certificates to, like, for instance, a man and woman who came in to be issued to them a marriage certificate in which they did not receive a biblical marriage. In other words, there wasn't there wasn't a minister of God to perform the service. So you have to think about that too. Did she? I guess not. She didn't refuse a standard man and woman.
Right. So, that's been my understanding. I haven't done a lot of research into it either, Joe, but I've understood that you know, whoever she is, whatever she's done, she's recognized that marriage is to be at least between a man and a woman.
Right.
And so when these two women have come in, or these two men, she said, this is not right. She's had that much understanding, and it's kind of put it up in everybody's face, along those lines.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that in for food for thought, because, you know, if your standard man and woman, regular Christian couple, even though they didn't receive a biblical marriage ceremony with a certified, bona fide preacher, they may have received a bogus marriage certificate in the eyes of God anyway.
Anyway,
thanks for taking my call.
All right,
I won't tie you up too much.
All right, thanks.
Okay, have a good one.
All right, you too. 307-745-5913. So again, we read on in this parable of sower. Don't let the worldly cares override the word of God. Don't. And then Mark 4:20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And a parallel scripture to that, that's Mark 4:20. A parallel scripture to that is Luke 8:15. And it is, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. And so, we see just a little different wording, but we see the same thing. They hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit. Luke 8:15 tells us they've heard the word in an honest and good heart. They hold it fast and they bear fruit with perseverance. You know, for trees to bear fruit, they don't just, you know, they don't just automatically bear fruit. You know, trees have to persevere through a time of planting and a time of springtime when there's new growth, and then a time of summertime when it might be hot and dusty, and then a time of fall when, you know, and they might have to go, and then wintertime where it's cold and bitter for years before in the physical, before a tree will bear fruit. Several years, orange trees, apple trees, it is. There's several years before they really bear fruit. And so it has to be with perseverance. We talked about that perseverance earlier. We are to persevere. And we bear fruit when we persevere. Had some scriptures here. Well, I don't know if we'll have time. Romans 5:3 and Ephesians 6. We'll have to get to them another time. I did want to get through so that seed in the good soil, again, in order to bear fruit, we're to hear the word, we're to accept it, hold it fast, it says, believe it, and live our life according to that belief, and persevere. And so, in that parable of the sower, we see that there's four types of soil or ground that the seed was sown on, and we understand that the seed is the word of God. And so the parable here is that there seems to be four types of four heart types that accept or don't accept that word of God, whether it's that hard, calloused heart, or that heart that desires other things than the word, things of the world. And, you know, that I like what the caller, what Joe said, is we should be praying to God for God to soften the heart of his people. You know, if you have someone that you're trying to share the gospel with, well, you know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart because that was God's will. But there's other kings and rulers and people throughout the word that have said that God has softened their heart. And we can do that. We can pray to God that when we're going to sow seeds, when we're going to share the gospel, that those that we're doing that with will have the right heart, will have the right attitude. You know, that rocky, that wayside, not the rocky part, the wayside where the seeds just kind of fell, that may be that blind heart where, you know, the person is just totally blind, doesn't want anything to do with the gospel. And we know there's people out there like that. Nope, I don't want to hear anything about it. Whether they've just been turned off by Judeo-Christianity or whatever. And then that rocky soil, those that have that rocky heart, they may be enthusiastic. They may, they hear it, oh, this sounds great. But, you know, that it, just hearing it is not the end. You have to make a conscious effort to believe it, to obey it, to learn more about it. And those with that rocky heart just no foundation, we talked about. They don't seem to have that foundation, and the persecution comes, and that's it. And then maybe the third type might be the rebellious heart. You know, partially committing and say, oh yeah, this sounds good, and starting to go to church and those things, but when the persecutions come, oh wait a minute, I can't tithe. You don't know the bills I've got. You just don't know. Well, maybe I don't, but God does. Or no, I can't go to church on Sunday. That's too far of a drive for me. I just can't get up. You just don't know. The excuses, you'd be surprised at the excuses that come out at times. We don't want to get caught up in the cares of the world. But then that good soil that hears the word is and becomes dedicated to the word and to Jesus Christ and believes and acts on that belief, repents, changes. That's what that word means. Changes when it sees that there's a better way. And so, you know, running out of time here, almost toward the end of the program. Of course, our prayer is that those that we share the gospel with are that good soil, that the seeds we put out, the gospel we share, that they will find good soil and take root and bear fruit. And we should pray that for our own hearts as well, for our own lives. Proverbs 11:18, as we're wrapping up, I wanted to get to this, a couple verses here, talks about sowing, and so much of this, the parable of the sower, we know that the sowing is the Word of God, and that at times that's us putting the Word of God out. And Proverbs 11:18 tells us the wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. He who sows righteousness gets a true reward. And so, I hope that's an encouragement to you. That's what we are to do. We are to sow righteousness. That's what we are to put out. Hey, this is what's right and true and pure. This Word of God. This man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know, another part of righteousness is sowing who we are. And taking the time and having the patience to explain that out to new listeners, to new believers, to people that maybe haven't come along as fast as some others have. We try to do that. We try to sow righteousness. Because it is a true reward that we get. It is a storing up our treasures where the moth doesn't eat and the rust doesn't destroy. And then also John 4, 34 through 38. Maybe we have time for this. Jesus said to them, again, this is John 4, 34 through 38. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. That he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And I share this because there's times that we many times might think that, well, we're the sower, and I'm putting word out, and oh, this guy over here's got a rocky heart, and this guy don't want nothing to do with it, and this person over here is too busy, you know, chasing that almighty dollar. But sometimes we may be the one that that word is sown upon. It may be a new word. It may be a scripture verse. I don't recall the last, if I've ever read John 4, 34 through 38 on the radio in the last 4 years. Or in church for that matter. And so sometimes we might get a new word out of this. And so if the word of God, as the seed is described, is sown in us, make sure we have the good soil that can accept that and that can bear fruit for it or bear fruit from it. Because that's what we're to do. And when we do that, well, then that fruit shows forth. It does. It does. Well, we're running out of time. Wow, looking at the clock, just a few minutes. Just some thoughts I had, again, on the parable of the sower. Hope it wasn't too basic, nothing super insightful there, but again, the seed is the good soil, the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Perseverance. We are to persevere. We truly are. Well, thank you for joining us. This is, again, 7x70. I'm Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live this Thursday night. These broadcasts are replayed and archived at our network website, sfawbn.com. And so if you get a chance to get on the Internet, we encourage you to go there. Our entire broadcasting schedule is there. We do invite you back Friday night. You can make a big Friday night evening of it. We have some new programming. We'll have some praise music on tomorrow night. And as far as I know, Jason will have his Gideon's Armory program, Gideon's Armory, at the same broadcast hour, 7 p.m. Mountain and 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So we encourage you to tune in for that. Always some good informative points of information coming out from Jason and his guests. And then we invite you all to join us, to join all of us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Eastern, and 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, again, for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Thanks for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We'll be right back.